Hello, and welcome to Makeshift Stories. Thank you for listening. You can help us out by telling your friends about us and getting them to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Now, open your imagination and take a journey into the improbable as you listen to Makeshift Stories 178, Ken Likely, Accidental Interdimensional Drifter in Scammed, read by Mitchell Tu. It wasn't the best day to be a door, Ken's front door mused. At one time, being a door was simple. You just let people in and out, then tried to stay closed so the elements couldn't get past you. Yes, those were indeed the golden days, when open meant open and closed meant closed. But now, things were not as clear-cut. For example, there was the owner of the space behind you to consider, then their close friends and family, if they had any. Okay, open for those people. But then there was that gray zone, friends of friends, people the owner occasionally lent a key to water the plants, and, most annoyingly, the neighbors, worried by possible goings-on behind you, feigning concern for the owner of the space, etc., etc. Like today, a new entity had claimed it had the right to enter, waved a handful of legal-looking documents in front of the people, and, when no one answered, typed in the default admin password, open123, which Ken had neglected to change on the lock plate. Add to all of that the infinite variations of the above found in the multiverse, and the door was getting a really, really bad headache deciding what to do, even after Ken pulled out his emergency key and fumbled it into the lock. To open or not to open? It was indeed a complex and nuanced decision, to which the door was still pondering, as Ken laid his shoulder against it, causing the 60-year-old latch to reluctantly cooperate. Ken couldn't figure out why the door was sticking.
If you don't open, I'm going to hire a company to come and replace you. Is that what you want, after all these years? He had never liked the thing's fake shaker panels anyway.
Well, what's it going to be?
Ken leaned hard against the front door until it decided to cooperate and suddenly popped open, causing him to fall through onto the hall floor like a jellied salad ejected from a plastic mold. Ken picked himself up and sniffed. The air was saturated with cinnamon, mango, and something else, something pungent Ken couldn't quite put his finger on. He gathered himself together, straightened his clothes, slammed the door shut out of spite, then turned and strode toward the kitchen. He had barely taken three steps when he discovered the source of the smell.
Yo there! I was wondering when you were going to show up.
A yellow-orange blobby thing, which looked almost gooey, there actually appeared to be fluff stuck to the parts not covered by Ken's favorite t-shirt, had flowed its gelatinous mass into Ken's favorite chair. Something approximating a mouth was where the words were emanating from. Angry and surprised, Ken pointed to the door.
Get out, now! I feel really hurt, Ken, old pal. After all, you invited me here.
The thing pointed a tentacle-like appendage at a piece of crumpled paper thrown haphazardly onto the coffee table. Ken picked up the suspect object, treating the crumpled, sweat-stained printout like it was a used Kleenex.
Dora Stoika, where did you get this from? Ken questioned.
Like the old cartoon said, on the internet, nobody knows you're an invading space alien.
That's not what the cartoon said, Ken pointed out indignantly.
Close enough, you get the idea, right? But that's besides the point. All we needed was an invitation, and now that we're here, well, we're claiming the place. Squatters' rights, you know.
But you just got here, you can't claim squatters' rights.
Got here almost 12 minutes ago, and this place was empty when we arrived. Plus, I don't see any other civilized sentience around. So that means the place is empty, and I'm here to claim it, in the name of our glorious queen and ever-expanding empire. I declare this world to henceforth be the property of Queen Thare Fraco, the 42nd, or something. Maybe it's the 44th, I'm not sure. Okay, let's agree it's the 42nd. I declare this world and everything on it to be the property of Queen Thare Fraco, the 42nd of Zarilia.
But... Ken stuttered as his brain performed a desperate search for a bylaw which applied to the situation.
See what I mean? There's nothing intelligent enough around to string a coherent sentence together. And the place appears to be overrun by a particularly annoying species of hominidia, or monkeys, if you prefer the non-scientific name for the vermin. Wait,
Ken yelled, his brain finally remembering the right details. Squatter's rights don't apply until you've occupied a place for 10 years. The blob-like thing gave a cinnamon-scented belch, then approximated a gloating smile.
Sure, 10 years at a fixed point in the universe. But at the relativistic speed space is expanding, roughly 72 kilometers per second per megaparsec. Let me see. In local perceptual time, that would be... Equate to about 9 minutes. So, your laughable excuse for a civilization has no leg to stand on. But, wait, it looks like you have two.
The thing laughed at its own joke.
Look, I'm being generous here. Please accept these pretty, colored stones from Caddis 45B in payment for your planet. Now, if you don't mind, there's an old movie on some archaic thing called Cabal I want to watch. Oh. And while you're out, restock the pantry with sour cream dill pickle chips. I prefer the crinkly ones. I'm sure I'll have a few other errands for you when you get back. Keep up the good work, and I'll let you sleep in the garage.
Some weeks or days earlier, local time, on Pope Gregory XIII's calendar, and somewhere between October 4th and 15 October calendar time and reality, Ken sat at his computer, annoyed by an ad which had been following him around the web. It was a picture of a particularly androgynous mid-something person with teeth so white their brilliance increased computer power consumption by several watts. The caption read, "Meet people like you," which normally wouldn't have induced Ken to click on the thing. However, the annoying ad had popped up over a rather interesting article he was reading on using pivot tables to segment data on a bylaw enforcement blog. In his haste to close the ad, which really hadn't left enough room for even the most adroit human to dismiss the annoying thing without clicking on it, Ken ended up on a site called Soulmates. The profile of a person sort of resembling the photo in the ad popped up, again making it impossible to dismiss without clicking on it. Frustrated, Ken closed his browser and reached over to a conveniently placed bowl of chips. Unfortunately, his hungry fingers found empty space. That was the last bag, Ken commiserated, then got up and reluctantly struggled into his coat. The walk to the corner store would do him good, he rationalized. Ken was now doing his best to get 10,000 steps in whenever he could, which, to be honest, wasn't that often. He hadn't taken more than 75 of those steps when Ken's phone vibrated enthusiastically with an incoming notification. Stopping in front of the neighbor's house, Ken fished out the phone.
Hey, Kenny dude!
The voice came out of nowhere, startling Ken, causing him to drop his phone into the knee-high weeds his neighbor Leaf Basil claimed was local flora. Ken had checked the community bylaws, and local flora was allowed, so there was nothing he could do about the aggressive stuff which insisted on expanding into his lawn. Leaf, you made me drop my phone on your weeds. I don't even see it.
Dude, it's right there, man. Good thing it landed on my stipa viridula.
Ken gave him a blank stare.
Local prairie grass, dude. I found it in a ditch outside of town. Can you believe that some cat is just digging the stuff up and selling it online to the unsuspecting? For a lot of bread. I almost fell for it too. The gnarly plant doesn't need water or cutting. It's awesome. Your phone screen probably wouldn't have survived if it had hit the concrete, Ken. That's another checkmark for going natural.
Leaf picked up the phone and examined it.
Looks funky, man. Hey, there's a message from a Dora Stoika. They want to connect. I wouldn't play that mind game, Kenny. You never know when it's a Joneser.
Stop reading my messages, Leaf. Annoyed, Ken grabbed his phone back.
Hey, Kenny dude, I'm just trying to help. There's a lot of Jonesers in cyberspace selling bunk. Like that deadhead palming the prairie grass when the stuff is free for the take-in. He was a moderator in my favorite organic garden forum, too. I almost fell for it until I unplugged and explored the here and now with my DIY green machine over there.
Leaf nodded at his recently finished all-electric Westfalia. I'm well aware of online scams, Leaf. I took a course at work. By the way, I'm sure there's a bylaw against digging up plants along roadside allowances. More than a bit miffed, Ken shoved his phone back into his pocket and walked away. Ken settled back into his favorite chair and opened a browser, hoping to catch up on his favorite vidstream. Instead, a notification popped up. You appeared in 142 searches this week. To find out who was searching for you, click here. Ken figured 142 was 140 more people than he knew, so he suspected his memo to the director of city operations about certain staff hogging the best tables in the cafeteria might have caused a reaction. Unable to suppress his curiosity, Ken clicked on the link and unexpectedly found himself staring at an online profile sporting the picture he had recently seen in the ad following him around the web. It was a surprisingly interesting bio for Adora Stoika, who just wanted everyone to follow the rules. He vaguely remembered someone at a conference who may have looked like Dora. After all, municipal bylaw enforcement was not a large community, so it was plausible. He was immediately hooked and clicked the message button, then typed. Hi there, I think we may have met at a conference. I agree, bylaws were put in place for a reason, and everyone needs to respect them. The response was almost immediate. Agreed, what makes you happiest at work? Ken smiled and keyed, rejecting a building application that doesn't follow city code. He waited excitedly as the little typing icon showed Dora was responding. LOL, my hobby is spying on neighbors and calling the city on them when someone does an unpermitted renovation. Tons of fun. The words appeared in a gray text bubble opposite Ken's. He laughed and replied, Nice. Here in Central City, we need a weed bylaw. My neighbor is growing wild grass and thistles in his yard and claims they're endemic to the area or something. We have a good one here, so weeds aren't a problem. It's so important to play by the rules, isn't it, Ken? Fairer for everyone. The message paused. You said you're in Central City, right? Yes, Ken typed. Great. I have to go there on important business. But there's a big conference and all the hotel rooms appear to be full. I know we barely know each other, but would you happen to have a spare room I could use for a night or two? We could talk about getting your counsel behind an appropriate urban plant bylaw. Ken sighed with satisfaction. 35 days later, on the local Pope Gregory XIII's calendar, introduced in 1582 to shorten the average year by 0.0075 days to stop the drift which would eventually cause the winter solstice to occur in July, Ken found himself outside, staring at his front door. At that moment, he wasn't considering the great wisdom of Pope Gregory's decision. Instead, he was pondering why his front door suddenly had a suspiciously hostile attitude toward him. Ken knocked and waited, then heard the muffled theme of Close Encounters of the Third Kind and what he took for alien laughter. Ken tried again. The thing inside increased the volume. He reluctantly turned away, noticing for the first time Leaf and Planet, who were sitting in the open side door of Leaf's DIY electric Westfalia, looking perplexed. Leaf waved Ken over.
You too, man? Bummer. It's a real bad trip then. Right, Planet?
Planet growled pointedly at Ken.
Get your dog under control, Leaf.
Planet's upset, Kenny dude. Cause like, the whole world's been, well, it's been occupied, taken over, invaded by some gnarly aliens and they've gone all commando, booting everyone out of their pads. A real downer. Me and Planet was just about to harvest some chamomile. It's ready, you know, but the alien in there ain't down with the whole organic scene. They're gonna rip out my heirloom tomatoes so they can install a wood and coal-fired pizza oven. Are you picking up what I'm laying down, Kenny? These dudes are bad, man. They're gonna treat the whole planet like a midnight auto supply. Planet knows more.
Under their laws, if no other Cerulean was here first and they've been invited here by some local gullible enough to fall for one of their scams, they can declare the whole planet to be a protectorate of their queen, then expropriate everything. They're extremely colonial, consummately bureaucratic, and follow their rules to a T. So, someone around here invited them. Planet barked accusingly at Ken. Leaf, your dog.
Yeah, I know she talks. We've been through this scene many times before, man. You'll get down with it eventually. You always do. Just go with the flow, Kenny. Planet's got killer gray matter. She's smarter than you and maybe me. Maybe both.
Leaf reached over to pet Planet. Planet bared her teeth.
Okay already. I know I get carried away with the whole human pet canine thing. Take a chill pill, Planet.
Switching her attention back to Ken, Planet jumped out of the Westphalia, forcing the man to back up.
If you haven't already noticed, Planet's not down with this whole alien invasion thing. So, Kenny, spill it, man.
Leaf advised. I didn't do anything wrong. I sort of invited someone I met online to stay at my place. Another city bylaw person, except some alien showed up instead. They kicked me out and sent me to buy potato chips. Said they'd let me live in the garage if I behaved.
Oh man, don't tell me.
Ken nodded. Planet growled at Ken again and inched toward him. Ken backed away cautiously. Leaf? Your dog?
Okay, chill, folks. Let's apply some of that mean, brainy biomass to this problem.
Leaf interjected, placing himself between Planet and Ken.
These cats are radical establishment eggheads who want everything they can cop. They are mean, green, greedy machines. But they're new to the scene, so there's gotta be some local instant karma they don't grok. We can use it to make their day a downer.
Planet lifted one ear, tilted her head, smiled, and stretched. I've got a plan, she yipped. Ken took the photo Leaf had pulled out of a pocket in a side panel of the Westphalia. He stared at it before laying the print on the ground. Ken had never seen a young Leaf before. The man always looked the same, somewhere north of 40 and south of 60. But with all the hair, it was hard to tell. The image on the ground looked like a Leaf from a different universe. Dressed in a dark, tailored suit, hair neat as a pin. If Ken hadn't known who it was, he would have mistaken the man for a business exec, or politician, or a, well, anyone other than someone obsessed with DIY solar power, pyramids, and organic gardening. He was tempted to ask Leaf about it, but suspected he wouldn't get an answer which made any sense. After he had taken the photo of the photo, he handed his phone to Leaf to set up an online profile for a Prince de Foley Kallak of Nabi 3. This isn't going to work. Even I wouldn't fall for it, Ken complained.
Dude, those bad cat invading aliens are new in this part of the multiverse. They won't have seen this one before. Is that the right profile, my dude?
Ken nodded. Leaf thumbed in the message while Planet dictated. I am a rich prince whose relatives have locked me up so I cannot attend my coronation. If I miss the ceremony, I will forfeit my rights to rule the Nabian Galactic Empire and my evil cousins will take over. If you come to Nabia 3 right away, stellar coordinates attached, and free me, I will pay you back by giving you dominion over several planets in my empire. I am writing you because I found your profile on the internet, suspect you have an invasion fleet at your disposal, and I can tell by your excellent photo that I can trust you. Leaf finished typing and hit send. Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB Financial. To listen to other great APN award-winning podcasts such as It's a Conspiracy, where co-hosts Andrew, Charlie, and Greg lay out the beliefs behind selected conspiracy theories, alternative accounts, legends, myths, and more, please head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com. Now, a word from our sponsor, ATB. Tired of paying bank fees when you can't remember the last time you went into a branch? You spoke. ATB listened, and they've created a no monthly fee digital account with a line of credit that makes banking work for you. By doing most of your banking digitally, you'll avoid monthly fees and get unlimited digital transactions. It's 24/7 banking at its finest. Visit ATB.com today to sign up for a no-fee, all-in account and discover digital banking that works for you. Makeshift Stories is released twice a month around the 1st and the 15th. This month's story was written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Tu. Opening and closing theme, Magical Mystery by 8th Mode Music, is licensed from Audio Jungle on a Music Mass Reproduction license. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Links to both are in the show notes. You can help us out by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or any of your favorite podcast services. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.